And now let's turn to longtime Phoenix writer Amy Silverman and her latest column in Phoenix Magazine, Raising Phoenix. In it, she explores Arizona politics, culture, and everything else that makes Phoenix, Phoenix. This month, she takes us to a chilly warehouse near the state capitol, where her friend Sativa Peterson works as the newspaper librarian for the state of Arizona.
It's chilly in here. It's kept at a constant temperature. We keep the humidity controlled and just to preserve the papers as long as possible. So as you can see, I mean, you know, newspaper wasn't really meant to last forever, so it starts to get pretty brittle.
So we've got the Green Valley News, the Arizona Silver Belt, AZ Record, the Globe Republican.
This is always a work in progress. I'm always doing further organization, but right now they're kind of they're organized by city of publication and then kind of within that alphabetically.
And these go back how long?
1859 to present. So I thought it would just take a year. In this case, I just took 1943 and I pulled like six different newspapers. So,
oh, wow. Look at that artwork. So that was the Fort Huachuca paper. Members of the Wacky and Khaki.
Yeah, so there were WACs that were stationed there as well as soldiers. So there were social events. Here you can see the nurses in their uniforms. And so these were African American troops. This is in Fort Huachuca. So that, you know, that's one point of view. And then, so this is August 6, 1943.
So much of it is what you would see on social media today.
Yep. So here, you know, it's reporting that Pollywood comes to Fort Huachuca. So that's, you know, one point of view from 1943. And then you move on and we have the Gila News Courier, which was a Japanese internment camp newspaper, also 1943.
Front page news, no showers after 6 p.m.
This paper looks very different. It's more informal. It looks almost like a newsletter. Someone hand-typed all of this.
So what is it that you love about this, both of you? I mean, so Sativa, you like dedicate your life to making sure we have these records, right? Of things that seem really mundane or normal or, you know, just sort of the happenings of the day, even if it was from 1943. Why?
Well, I just think it helps to nurture and deeper our understanding of, you know, our Arizona heritage and how there's just these different points of view. So even though this is from the same months and the same year, sort of August 1943, you can see that there are very different points of view and things happening throughout our state that if we just had the perspective of maybe one big daily paper, it just couldn't capture all these disparate voices.
The Bisbee paper really took an international view. Mussolini spends unhappy birthday. And then right next to it is an ad for Pyrex. It's, you know, I've always thought of journalism as, or somebody else said it, not certainly not me, the rough draft of history. And that's what this is. You know, it's so satisfying to me to see it in print and to know that that is, you know, you may have a correction the next day or the day after, and I'm certainly not in favor of things being inaccurate, but there's something really satisfying about knowing that you can't get a phone call from someone saying, I don't really like the way you described me. Could you tweak that a little? And let's face it, 9 times out of 10, unfortunately, editors will say yes. It's there, it's in paper, and it maybe isn't here forever, but,
right,
you know, damn close.
Well,
it's a long time.
Ads and all of that really hyper-local stuff just gives you so much texture, you know, to what was happening and what were the concerns. I mean, you know, even in some of these really specialized communities, you're still concerned with what's on the menu and how you're going to get your clothes cleaned.
So a very different kind of news environment than we're in today, which is why you came here for this column, right, Amy? And you write about in this one that you were really trying, you had gotten off of the 24-hour everyday news cycle. Why'd you do that?
Because I realized, particularly with current politics, that I had fallen down this rabbit hole and was responding to personalities rather than news. And if you turn on cable TV, you know, and you get sucked into that 24-hour news cycle, I can call my mom any time of day and MSNBC is on in the background and it's pretty much the same thing that it was the previous hour. And I think it, for me, it became unhealthy. And that's saying a lot as somebody who's always made a living reporting news.
So what happened when you disconnected?
Nothing. Partly because I'm married to a journalist. And so from the first moment I open my eyes in the morning, I'm hearing about what's going on in the news. And I still have my ways of finding it. You know, it's not like I stopped reading the newspaper or listening to NPR. I just cut way back. It had just become too much. And yet, at the same time, not enough. When I think back, certainly not back to 1943, and this is one of the things Sativa and I talked about, when I was coming of age in the 80s, you had really viable, great newspapers in Tempe, maybe not great, good newspapers in Tempe, Mesa, Scottsdale, Glendale. You had one for the West Valley. And then you had the Republic. And then you had weeklies. And then you had monthlies. There was so much competition. And it really, I think, created a different kind of a news cycle and a different product.
So what was it that made you want to come here as you were sort of thinking about all of these things?
Well, part of it is that I'm obsessed with old things on paper. You can come into my office and almost kill yourself in an avalanche to find out. And then I'm really lucky because I have, as I wrote in the column, some of my best friends are librarians. And Sativa and I, she's one of my closest friends, we talk about this kind of thing a lot. And it seemed like a really good excuse to come down here and poke around a little bit, but also to talk about something that's really important, I think.
I want to end with this idea of why all of this matters, right? These 1943 papers, preserving them and keeping that kind of news consumption in mind when we think about how we consume it today and how fast it goes. Why do you think it matters, Sativa?
I mean, I come from a little bit of different perspective because I'm not working in this capacity as a journalist. I'm working as a librarian, so I'm kind of wearing two hats. I'm thinking about the researcher who's coming in today, but I'm also thinking about someone who's coming in 50 years from now or 100 years from now. And so I want to make sure that there are these viewpoints that can sort of bring this to life for them as they're looking through these papers. And then also, as I'm still collecting present titles, you know, to make sure that we're getting that array so that we're doing that moving forward as well.
For me, I think a big part of it is having grown up in Arizona, a place that's so new, the 48th state, you know, people don't think that Arizona has history, but you look around here and you think, oh, well, of course we do. And we're making history too. And I think it's important as a journalist to consider what came before you and how it was created and thought of. And even the idea of advertising, which is changing so much, and how it used to support journalism, and now different things support journalism, I just think it's an important thing to remember.
So you said in the column that you had made a resolution to go back to the 24-hour news cycle in 2020, and have you done it? Can you do it?
I'll do it. Eventually. But my New Year's resolution is to figure out how to limit my anxiety. So these two things are very much at odds. But I do think it's really important with the coming presidential election to dive back in.
All right. Amy Silverman, Sativa Peterson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.